Listen, I love eating fish. I do. I mean, to me, how many of y'all like eating trout? Anybody? Okay. Catfish? It all tastes like mud to me. I'm sorry. When you've been living so long on saltwater fish, it just tastes good. Amen? And I love going to a pier and smelling that salt air. And if we can get a little bit of fish that's kind of rotting a little bit, oh, it does me good. Amen? I'm telling you. Here we find the Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake. I mean, listen, the multitudes are coming in by the droves. And when it's all said and done, the Bible says, and notice, and saw. This is Christ. The Bible says, and he saw two ships standing by. I want to ask you this question tonight. Is your ship standing by? Is your ship standing by? You as an individual. I'm not talking as a church. Listen, as a church, it's a great thing. You can hide among everybody. But if I was to ask you right now as an individual, what are you doing to impact this world for the sake of the gospel? What are you going to say? Well, as a church, we support missionaries, Brother Nathan. Well, that's all good and well as a church. But what about you as an individual? What about you as an individual? I want you to see, number one, these are some things that Christ saw. He saw the detriment and failure. He saw the detriment and failure. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. I want you to understand something. When those ships are standing by, it means that they are anchored. They're fastened. They're immobile. They're not going anywhere. And I wonder how many times Christians find themselves in the rat race of life. They feel like they're spinning their wheels just as fast as they can. And as Christians, you're not going anywhere. There's a great verse for that. Keep your place here now in Luke chapter 5. And look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You say, Brother Nathan, what are you talking about, entangled? Don't you remember what it was like when you were in high school? Buddy, listen, coach wants everything from you. Listen, the practices, he wants you more and more there. And usually they're on Wednesday nights. I mean, it takes precedence if you're not careful. Then you get out of high school. Then your boss wants you to do more. I mean, he's got great expectations for you. You know what happens? You become entangled little bit by little bit, little bit by little bit. I mean, listen, when it's all said and done, you're almost a slave to the job that you started working for. How many of y'all know what it's like to work all day and at night? I mean, you're just ready to see the pillow. I mean, you're just shot to pieces. You're exhausted. Yeah, it's rough. I saw Brother Ryan out here. He was pouring the concrete. And, buddy, I mean, he's out there, I mean, just moving that concrete and everything. And my father-in-law, when he was alive, that's all he worked with was with concrete. My father-in-law used to tell me, he said, son, when you work with concrete, he said, it'll either make you young or wish you were. He knew what it's like to work with his hands. And many of us as Christians, hey, we work all week. And then come Saturday, we're exhausted, we're sleeping. And then come Sunday, man, we come dragging into church. And we're wondering, man, is this what my Christian life is all supposed to be? You know what I say? I say, why is your ship standing by? Why is your ship standing by? Listen, you become entangled. You're fastened tight to the things of the world. But also we see here in Luke chapter 5, the Bible says, and it says, but the fishermen were gone out of them. What happened? The fishermen are gone out. No more are you at sail. No more are you sailing the high seas. Well, if the ship isn't out, that means that ship stays in bay. That means you're no longer on the sea. Paul even talked about some individuals. He said, Demas hath forsaken me for the things of this world. I wonder tonight, have you found yourself bailing ship? Have you found yourself discouraged? Man, I should be doing so much more for the things of God. Man, how come I'm not moving forward? Probably because you got out of the ship. Is your ship standing by? Also, we see here, the Bible says, and they were washing their nets. I know what it's like to fish with nets. Anybody here ever done that before? In the Bahamas, they would catch fish. We would find a channel and we'd drop the net. And then so many of us would go down the other end. They would make a lot of noise and they would literally send that school of fish into the net. And I was a young teenage boy and I was standing there on one side of the net and this man hands me a little baseball bat. I said, well, what's this for? He says, for the shark when it shows up. What? And all of a sudden the music begins to play. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, you can see the thing coming out as a little tiger shark. He says, hit it, Brother Nathan. Wow. Okay. But listen, hey, if the nets are being washed, they're not being used. And I wonder tonight how many of us say, I wonder why God's not using me. Probably because you got to have a ship. Your ship is standing by. And you look at it and you say, oh, I've toiled all night and I've caught nothing. That's because there's a problem. The problem is Christ's not in the ship. Christ isn't in the ship. Notice what takes place. Everything changes when Christ gets on board. You see, Brother Nathan, I want my house to live for God. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hey, why don't you make the Lord supreme being of your home? Make Him the captain of the ship. Make Him the captain of the ship. The Bible says this in verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people of the ship. Listen, I want you to see, not only did he see the detriment and the failure, but number two, he sees the direction and focus. He's focusing in. He's giving explicit direction. Notice what he says to Simon. He doesn't immediately tell him, hey, drop your nets. What does he say? Thrust out? A little from the land. A little from the land. How many remember the day you got saved? Amen. And how many of you, your pastor asked you to preach a message immediately? No, didn't happen that way, did it? No, it's discipleship. It's little by little bit. He's teaching you how to read the Word of God, how to memorize the Word of God. He teaches you what baptism is. It's the first step of a new convert. It's obeying God. It's little steps by little steps. He says, thrust out a little from land. Remember, it was like, how many of you guys know how to swim? Okay? How many of you do not know how to swim? I suggest you don't go to the ocean. Amen? Okay? Listen, hey, you remember what it was like when you learned to swim? Listen, you can swim all day long in water this high. I've seen Logan. I mean, I can say he's like a fish. Okay? And it took a while. I said, okay, I need you to go out in the deep. Oh, wait a minute, Dad. That's over my head. I said, yeah, but you can swim just the exact same way as you did in this much water. And then it got to the point where he could swim over his head in like 8 feet of water. But we went out in the boat and I said, hey, what happens if you fall over here? I'm going to drown. Why are you going to drown? Dad, it's deep. I said, 40 feet and 8 feet, there's not really much of a difference. It's still over your head. Thrust out a little. You're in here. Kelly and I, we went to the Bahamas years ago with my mom and dad. And we took her to one side of the island. You could walk for miles this deep. It's wonderful. And then some friends of ours, they said, hey, Brother Saunders, would you and your wife like to go and swim over a barge? I'm like, yeah. They said, it's basically a shipwreck. I'm like, this is awesome. Let's go. Kelly's never done anything like this. We get all the way there and everything, and there's a current. So he says, we're going to give you a rope, and we want you to bail over the pack, and we want you to be able to look under the water. We had goggles on and everything. And he said, we're just going to pull you around the barge. I leaned over to the guy and said, hey, you think there's any sharks here? He said, I didn't want to say anything. He said, but the last time we were here, yeah, there was about three of them. They just circled the ship. So you know what Kelly says? I'm not jumping over unless you go with me. You couldn't see the bottom of the water. It's probably 50 feet deep. The water was just as black as his shirt or his suit. But the moment you hit the water and your goggles hit that water, you could see all the way to the bottom. We saw all kinds of stuff. Barracuda. Big old rainbow fish. What is it? Yeah, parrotfish. We saw all kinds of stuff. We didn't see any sharks. When we got back in the boat, I explained to her. I said, yeah, do you know how we catch sharks in the Bahamas? She says, no. I said, it's pretty simple. You take a hook, you put meat on it, and you throw it out the backside of the boat, and you pull the boat around like sunken stuff until something bites it. I said, we were the bait. thrust out a little. Thrust out. Have you found yourself? Let me ask this question. What's your faith like? I mean, this is a missions conference. This is basically the business meeting, if you would, that's going to determine what we're going to do with this world. And see, people don't die and go to hell because we just refuse never to tell them. I mean, it's neglect. And if we don't thrust out a little, how are you going to get to the deep? Do you know what I say? I say thrust out a little. Push off. Push away from shore and say, Lord, I don't know what my life is going to do. And I don't know how this is all going to work out. But Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Amen. And that's basically what Simon Peter did. Amen. He thrust out a little from land. Then notice what else Christ says. Now, when he had left speaking, I mean, you got Simon to thrust out just a little bit. That's just like the Lord. He'll take you to a certain point. You stay there just for a little bit. And then all of a sudden the Lord says, I want you to not only be a little from land, now launch out into the deep. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to launch out into the deep? I asked the question, how many of you have never taken a mission trip? Are you ready to launch out into the deep? Are you ready to go somewhere you've never gone before? You ready to go out there? How many of you have eaten something really weird? Okay. We have a saying as missionaries. Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. And what you feed me, I will. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I've eaten everything from shark, eel, stingray, turtle, rattlesnake, ostrich, raccoon, possum, bear, moose, anything else? Oh, yeah. When I was living in Peru, they had a special animal. Anybody here got a pet guinea pig? Because if you said yes, I was at one church. One kid raised his hand. I said, we're coming to your house to eat tonight. Comes out on a plate like this. Okay. You say, Brother Nathan, I don't know if I could do that. It's pretty simple. If I was at your house and your wife slaved over that stove, and I knew that was the very best you had, and you gave it to me, I eat every bite of it. You know why? Because here's the thing. When you're on the mission field, you realize something. These people ain't got nothing. And they're lost and they're bound for hell. You know what? I will eat whatever they give me if it gives me the opportunity to lead them to Christ. That's why I say launch out into the deep. A little from land, launch out into the deep. Let down the net. Let down the net. But Brother Nathan, I've never led someone to Christ. Learn to lead someone to Christ. Your tracks are very simple. It's perfect. Just memorize it. Use it as a tool. I've taught people how to cheat the system. It's very simple. Just go through there and write those same things. Once you get to John 3:16, I mean, buddy, just go right on down through the book of Romans. From each one, just right at the top, where you're going to go next, lead people to Christ. Let down the net. We see here the directions and focus. Number three, I want you to see this, the discovery of faith. Peter just realizes who's standing before him. The Bible says this in verse 5. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I'm no English major. I mean, I can tear the English language apart. I mean, living in the Bahamas, then living in Georgia, it's horrible. But I have to learn some things. Notice in verse 4, I want you to circle the word nets. Okay? Now, in verse 5, circle the word net. There's a difference. One is plural and one is singular. Peter is basically saying, Lord, I've done everything that I knew possible. I mean, he's a professional fisherman. He said, I've done everything I can. You know what? You and I can do everything we can. But the Bible also says without him, we can do nothing.
That's right.
Amen. Listen, there needs to be a discovery of faith. And put that faith into practice. I'll read this verse for you, okay? Let me find it very quickly. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11.
Actually, let's just turn there together. Keep your place here in Luke chapter 5. Look at me in Hebrews 11. I've got 5 minutes. And I'm going to continue preaching. We're not going to be here much longer. I want you to really see this tonight. Hebrews 11. Look at me in verse 6. I've had people tell me, Brother Nathan, I just want to please God with my life. Look at me in verse 6. Underline it. Memorize it. Live it. But without faith, it is impossible to do what? Oh, wait a minute, Brother Nathan. I thought it'd be so much, you know, easier than that. Oh, listen, hey. For lost people, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of living God. For a saved individual, it's fun. You see, Brother Nathan, I don't understand. Listen, tonight we talked about two individuals. You've seen two individuals this week, more so than any of the other missionaries. And the majority of the missionaries that have been here, you've already supported. But for me, Brother Pepperdine, you're only getting to know us. You're looking at two individuals that understand what money is. You're looking at two individuals that understand what comfort really is. But we also know what it is to please God. And all the comforts and all the money in the world don't mean anything to the two of us and our wives. You see why? Because all we can think about is that world that's dying and going to a devil's hell. One individual said this: if it is an honor to serve the request of an earthly king, why is it a sacrifice to serve a heavenly king? There is no sacrifice other than the one that was given at the cross at Calvary. There is no sacrifice. It is a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord. Here we see, he says, I want you to thrust out. I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to let down the net. And then we see the discovery of faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why not seek the Lord tonight and say, Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it. God, I don't know what you want me to do with my life. Listen, hey, at the age of 15, I started to be a missionary. I had no idea where I was going. All I had was a map of the world. And every night I would beg God, Lord, where do I get to go? I mean, listen, I envisioned myself going to China. All I could think about was Hudson Taylor. Now, if you've never read anything about Hudson Taylor was an incredible missionary. He made history as a missionary. Hudson Taylor went when missionaries from Europe would go over to China. They always knew who the missionaries were from Europe because they wore the European clothes. Hudson Taylor didn't. He wanted to do the unthinkable. Now, Brother Pepperdine, it'd be kind of hard, amen? You'd have to dye that hair black and shave your head like mine right about to here and grow a ponytail in the back a little bit and grow a long mustache, and then you would take tea baths. That's what this guy did. You know why? Because he wanted to look like them and not like somebody from Europe. He was willing to eat their food and live among them. With the European, quote-unquote, missionaries, they would live in compounds, basically. They would eat their European food that they had shipped all the way over. They would wear the fine clothes of Europe. He lived like one of them. He led thousands and thousands of them to Christ. This is what he's known for saying. God's work, done God's way, will never lack in God's supply. When are you willing to discover faith and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do? We see here in the Word of God, not only do we see the discovery of faith. Listen, mistakes are never with God. They're always with us. They're always with us. Peter here, he didn't do exactly what God asked him to do. Could you imagine what would have happened if he did? Instead of letting down one net, if he let down all of them, I mean, goodness gracious. The catch that they would have received that day would have been incredible. But the Bible says, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done,
They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Listen, the multitudes are great. The mistakes are never with God, they're with us. But the multitudes are great. I remember there was a time when I was in Peru. I had a backpack that I bought from Chile. Because we just had to cross over and get our visas stamped and everything. And I took this backpack. Any of you guys ever go hiking? It's one of those nice backpacks that's got the big straps here. I mean, you can carry an enormous amount of weight. And I mean, the Lord really smote my heart about soul winning and handing tracts out. So I filled the thing to the brim with tracts. I thought, my goodness, I'm going to be gone all day. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to fast all day. I'm not going to eat anything until every one of these tracts is handed out. That lasted less than an hour. They were gone. People were so hungry for the gospel. And all I kept saying over and over and over again was, un regalo para ti, un regalo para ti, un regalo para ti. It's a free gift for you. It's a free gift for you. And I'd watch people take it and they'd walk away. And just as that huge, massive shift of people went by, here comes the next shift. And I just started handing out tracts left and right. People are very hungry for the gospel. The multitudes are great. Where this man is going, there are millions of people. I don't know how many people were here in Texas. But I mean, there's a lot of people here. They're building homes and apartments as fast as they can because there's an influx of people moving here. But could you imagine walking the streets of China? I mean, trying to take a deep breath. And right now, you really don't want to take a deep breath. Amen. I mean, that many people. I mean, listen, I've known what it's like to be in countries when they start rioting and they're there by the thousands. And if you picked up your feet, the crowd will move you literally. Multitudes. You say, but Nathan, who am I? Well, who are any of us other than we're just saved by grace? And listen, why not discover faith and say, hey, Lord, I'm just going to plunge out there. Remember the man that was hanging? He was hiking all day and he fell off the cliff and he grabbed a hold of a branch and he's hanging there and he's yelling, help, help, somebody help me. And then all of a sudden this audible voice says, I'm the Lord. Just let go of the branch. And all of a sudden that guy says, is there anybody else out there? Help. That's where you're at right now. You're hanging on the branch. God's saying, just let go. Watch and see what I can do with your life. Just fall into my hand. Discover faith. He sees the discovery of faith. The mistakes are never God, they're with us. The multitudes are great. And then we also see here the moments are glorious. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 7. And they beckon unto their partners. Hey, listen, you know what we as missionaries are doing? You know why we're meeting here? You're our partners. We're saying, hey, come help us. Hey, come help us start churches in the Southwest. Hey, come help us start churches in China. Why don't you surrender to that call? Why don't you come and go with us? Why don't you go to Alaska? Hey, man, 40 years this man and his wife have served there. Thank God for their faithfulness. So many times people come and they go so quickly. Why don't you say, hey, you know what? I may not be able to preach a message, but I can help soul win. You know what? Let's pack up our family. Let's go help a missionary. We'll hand out tracts. We'll be gone for a month. Hey, young people, let me help you with this. What is your life? Mormons, when that child is born, they start raising money. So when that kid turns 18, they're sending them on their first quote-unquote mission. I know because I ran into a lot of those guys when I was in Peru, South America, and I ran into a whole lot of them when I moved to Montana. And how many of us, Pastor, even said tonight, wouldn't it be something great if one of our kids became a missionary? You know what? Why don't you start saving now? Set up a little account. Call it the mission account. Buddy, when that child turns 18, where are we going? You're getting on an airplane. I'm shipping you. Hey, some of y'all probably say, I'd like to do it early, Brother Saunders. We're shipping you to the mission field, buddy. Listen, let me just tell you something. Young people, the Bible says, mine eye affected my heart. You'll take mission trips. Mom and Dad, you'll have to send your young people. Better yet, why don't you go as a family and say, you know what, instead of this year of going on vacation, let's take a mission trip together. Amen. Let's take a mission trip together. Hey, ask your pastor. I guarantee you, with that many names on the wall, hey, listen, we can plan a mission trip. I can even help you with that. If you want to see what this world looks like, here you have a church to come to. And man, thank God you got a pastor and a pastor's wife that love you, that call you all the time. There are places we could take you right now. You're going to go, my soul, they have nothing. I am so spoiled. You come back, kiss this ground, you left.
We see here, the moments are glorious. And they beckon unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Listen, there's glorious moments.
For Peter, it was a glorious moment because he realized who he was standing in the presence of. For those of us that are Christians, you know what's so amazing? The glorious moments for us should be, and I have great memories of sitting down with people in Montana where I've led them to Christ. I think about, I was just preaching not too long ago in Florida. And as I was preaching, there was a man that sat over here in this area. Him and his wife, they were from South Africa. He was Special Forces, older man. He just started coming to this church. It was an all-black church. I think they were like the only two other white people there besides my family. And he was used to black culture anyway because he grew up in South Africa. He had just helped this church with their security team. But he was lost. That morning he realized how lost he was. You know what one of the glorious moments was? When I gave the invitation. I asked Pastor Smart to come stand here in the front with his wife. Pastor Smart had just had a stroke not too long ago, and so he had his cane. Well, let me just tell you something. That old man of God's, well, I mean, I could just imagine him getting all excited. Because all of a sudden, when I gave the invitation, that man popped right up like a rocket. His wife stood beside her husband. They walked down the aisle together. And Brother Smart led him to the Lord. She rededicated her life to the Lord. Those are glorious moments. I think about young people that Kelly and I have led to the Lord back in Montana. And how man, listening to those young people cry out to a God in heaven saying, Lord, save me. Those are glorious moments. I said, Brother Nathan, I've never experienced that before. Do you remember the day you got saved? Think about that. Go back in time. For some of y'all, it was a long time ago. How many of you were saved at a very young age? Will you raise your hands? I was 5. Okay? How many of you were a little bit older than that? You were already in your teens. Okay? How many of you didn't get saved until you were an adult? Okay? So guess what? It wasn't too long ago then. Let me ask you a question. Were you ready to walk on clouds that day? Because you knew you escaped the flames of hell? Just as much excitement and zeal that you had that day, why not? Hey, you got to go back and reminisce. Reminisce of the day you got saved. And say, you know what I experienced that day? That joy that filled my heart. I want somebody else to experience that. Brother Saunders, is it really hard leading someone to Christ? No. It's pretty much one beggar telling the other beggar where the bread is. You're telling your story. Hey, that old story never grows old. Hey, man. Well, I'm so thankful for that. And then we see here, listen, not only is there a discovery of faith, but number four, I want you to see the decision to go forth. And see, that's where some of you are at tonight. Your ship is standing there in the bay. And for some of you, you've already cut the ropes. You're like, okay, I did that, Brother Nathan. And some of you have already thrusted your ship out just a little from land. The Lord's saying, I want you to launch out into the deep. So, Brother Nathan, is it pretty simple? Hey, it starts just with one sail. If you just start pulling up the sail, it gets easier. I'm telling you, it does. Many years ago, I surrendered to be a missionary to a place called Ecuador. And I was in Bible college. I told you, I surrendered at the age of 15 to be a missionary. I was in Bible college. God put upon my heart Ecuador. That's how I can speak a little bit of Spanish, not much. Ecuador's in South America. When it was all said and done, I ate, slept, and drank South America. Kelly and I met on a missions trip. The day she walked in through that door, I knew that is the girl that I'm going to marry. And I said, praise God. My heart just filled with joy. And I knew she was the one for me. When it was all said and done, she and I raised our support. You say, well, that's not so bad. Yeah, but then there comes the day when you got to get on that airplane. I'll never forget it. We all kissed our family goodbye. There were tears and everything. We got on that airplane. You know what she told me? She says, I'm good now. You know why? Because every step we step closer to that airplane, it got easier knowing that we're stepping out by faith to do what God called us to do. See, Brother Nathan, did you ever make it to Ecuador? Nope. My wife had health problems. The doctor said she could never go to a third world country, no more than for 2 weeks at a time. You say, man, I guess you just gave up. Nope. I had one guy tell me, he said, Brother Nathan, I know you're a fighter. He said, are you going to sit in the pew like everyone else, or are you going to get back in the fight? I said, I went back in the fight. So we just joke around that God took us the long way to Montana. You know, once again, you know what we had to do? Start pulling up the sails. Did God bless Brother Nathan? Oh, yes, He did. You can go right now to Montana, go to the Bitterroot Valley. You'll find the church there. Amen. Tomorrow night, they're going to have service at 7 o'clock. Who's ready to go? Amen. Let's go for a road trip. Okay? Listen, hey, it's time that we go forth. It's a decision. The Bible says this in verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch what? Shall catch men. That's what the Bible says. When they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. He said, fear not. Brother Nathan, this is a scary thing. Hey, you know what? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Forsake all and follow him. When you do so, I'm telling you, God is going to use you. You could become the next David Livingston, the next Hudson Taylor, the next Adam Irons Judson, the next Jim Elliott, Nate Saint. He said, Brother Nathan, I don't know who any of these guys are. After service, you asked me, or Brother Pepper Dunn, we'll tell you who those guys are. They were guys who were not satisfied with their ship standing by. What about you this morning? Is your ship standing by? It's time to set sail. Every head bowed, every eye closed.